You had a reading this morning from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1 through 8. We'll make some reference to that text in our study this morning and this evening as well. But our text for this morning, most of it's going to be based on 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11 through verse 14. But in order to get the full picture of what's under consideration before your mind, I want to begin at verse 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Primarily this morning, we're going to look at some promises that God has made to David. But we begin in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built a house of cedar?' Now therefore, you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with a rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men." The Bible is a book of God's plan of redemption to bring about salvation of man in Christ Jesus. That is, it is a book of redemption. That is God's plan to redeem, liberate, set man free from sin and its consequences. And in that plan of redemption, God often mentions a seed. That is, he often promises a seed that is going to come. On this occasion, to David, he said, "I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Of course, we learn that a seed is a descendant, one who is going to come from the body of David. Well, that's not the first time that God made a promise of a seed to come in regard to the redemption of mankind. Remember the first promise of redemption regarding the seed mentioned in Genesis 3 and in verse 15. When God said, "I will put enmity between you," that is the serpent, Satan, "and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Note the word seed is capitalized. "He," that is the seed of woman, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We know, if you've studied the Bible for any period of time, that the one under consideration is Jesus Christ, the seed of woman there. But God would also use this ideal of a seed or descendant to come later on in the threefold promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. One of the promises to Abraham contained in Genesis 12 and verse 3 said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, in you, that is in your seed, or in a descendant from you. He would make this same promise later on after Abraham had offered his son Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22 and verse 18, where God said to Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. This seed promise that God made to the serpent, this seed promise that God made to Abraham, God also made to Abraham's son Isaac as well. Genesis 26 and verse 4, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all of these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But not only did God make this promise to the serpent, not only did he make this promise to Abraham and to Abraham's son Isaac, but he also made this same promise to Jacob as well, the son of Isaac. Genesis 28 and verse 14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. He shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families there shall be blessed, God said to Jacob. Well, when it comes to David, this promise of a seed to come takes on special significance. In our reading this morning in 1 Chronicles 28 in verse 3, God said to David, you shall not build a house for my name. Remember, David wanted to build a house, that is a temple, to house the ark of God. He wanted to build a dwelling place for God on the earth. But because he was a man of war, God would not allow David to do that. But instead of David building God a house, remember in our text that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God said that he would build David a house. Also, Nathan speaking to David said, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. David, instead of you building me a house, I'm going to build you a house. Now, of course, there's a play on the word house here. David wanted to build God a house, that is a physical temple. But God says, I'm going to build you a house, David. Did David not have a house to live in? He did. But God's going to build him a house. The word house here is used for a lineage, a dynasty. That is, there's going to be a dynasty come through David. That's going to be his house, his household, his family. That is, through his descendants, a house would be built. A house would be built, and that lineage or that dynasty would rule and reign on David's throne while the physical kingdom of Israel was in existence. But even more, God had something in mind. That house would also be a spiritual house later on. And so this seed promise that God has made to David takes on special significance here. Let's look and note the promises regarding this seed promise to build David a house, a lineage, or a dynasty. First of all, note he says in the text, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers. So this promise that God makes to David on this occasion is not even going to be fulfilled until his days are fulfilled or completed. That is, until he lives out his life on earth and he rests or literally lays down with his fathers. That is, that he's buried. So David's not even going to see the fulfillment of this promise, I will build you a house. He's not going to see the fulfillment, the utter fulfillment of this promise until he is dead. Now think about that. God makes a promise to David, I'm going to build you a house. But I'm not going to build this house for you until you're dead. Think about that. But that's what the promise is. When your days are fulfilled, that is, when your days are completed upon this earth, and you rest or lie down with your father. So you're going to be dead when this fulfillment comes about, when this promise comes about. As a matter of fact, in Acts 2 and in verse 29, Peter said, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his tomb with us to this day. David died. His days were completed. And as Peter said, it's well known that he's dead, and go to his tomb. You can check it out. Paul also makes mention of this in Acts 13 and verse 36 when he is in Antioch of Pisidia preaching the word. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. That is, his body rotted and decayed away in the grave. But the fulfillment of this promise, I will build you a house, is going to be fulfilled during the days that David is dead. But note something else connected with this promise that God made as well. God would set up or raise up David's seed after him. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. So he's going to build his house after he's dead. That is the literal fulfillment of it. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. Now, some would suppose that, well, Solomon was the son of David, and he is the one under consideration. But he's not the ultimate fulfillment of this. Solomon did, in fact, rule and reign on David's throne. He, in fact, was the son of David. He, in fact, did come from the body of David. But he is not the true one who is under consideration. As we will see in a moment in our lesson, as well as this evening, Jesus Christ is actually the one who is under consideration. I will set up your seed after you. Remember the seed that is going to be set up after you. That is, after your death, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers. After the death, then that's when the seed is going to be set up. Not during the time that David is alive. Solomon took the reign over the nation of Israel while David was still alive. Solomon sat on David's throne while David was still alive. So the seed under consideration, we will see, is Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus Christ is an offspring or seed or descendant of David. Matthew 1 and verse 1 in the genealogy given by Matthew in his gospel, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in Luke 2 and in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. The seed under consideration is Jesus Christ. We'll see that later, as well as in our lesson this evening also. But note the other promise made to David on this occasion in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom. So God is going to establish the kingdom of the seed of David. Now remember, we just said that was Christ under consideration. Solomon's kingdom was established. Remember, he did rule and reign on David's throne. But this promise looks beyond Solomon. Looks beyond Solomon. Looks beyond Solomon to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Gabriel made mention of this in Luke 1 and in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, that is to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Know this, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him, note this, the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So the seed that God had promised to David was going to come after David's death, and God was going to set up his kingdom forever. He was going to rule and reign on David's throne. And of course, the ultimate fulfillment of this is in the church, the kingdom of God. Colossians 1 and verse 13, he, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The kingdom of God was in existence this time. Paul and those to whom he was writing to had been delivered into it. They had been transported into it. They had been put into the kingdom. What kingdom? Well, the kingdom over which the seed of David would rule and reign. That's the kingdom under consideration, the church. Hebrews 12 and in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Jumping ahead, verse 28, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. They were receiving a kingdom. The kingdom of God was in existence. There is no kingdom without a king. One from the seed of David is now ruling and reigning on David's throne. It is the church under consideration, the kingdom of God. In 2 Samuel 7, that in verse 13, God makes another promise to David. He says, he shall build a house for my name. So this seed, who ultimately is Jesus Christ, he shall build a house for my name. For my name simply means for me. Remember, David wanted to build God a house. God said, no, you're a man of war. But this seed who's going to come from your body, he's going to build a house for my name. He's going to build a house for me. And someone would say, well, it was Solomon. That's who's under consideration. Solomon did indeed build a house for God. He built the temple of God, the literal physical temple of God. 2 Chronicles 6 and in verse 7. Now it was in the heart of my father David, Solomon said, to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, Solomon, who's doing the speaking, who would come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name or for me. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have fulfilled or filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So Solomon did build the house. Solomon did build the temple. And there I have put the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the children of Israel. And so in our text, some would say, well, Solomon is one under consideration. He did build a house for God. He did build the temple. But it's not the physical, literal temple that is under consideration in the text. Solomon did, in fact, build the temple, the house of God. But it's a spiritual temple, a spiritual house that is under consideration. Again, it is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. Note this, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So the seed of David, remember, it could not have been Solomon. This promise to David was going to be fulfilled when David was dead. Solomon started building the temple while David was still alive. Solomon ruled and reigned on David's throne. He did in fact build a physical temple. But the seed that is under consideration in the context, remember, wasn't going to come from the body of David until David was dead. It could not have referred to Solomon. It had to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that built a house for the Lord, and the house of God is indeed the church. Ephesians 2 and in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So Jesus built a dwelling place for God, a spiritual dwelling place for God. It is the church, referred to here as a holy temple. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Jesus Christ was the seed under consideration, and he did build a house for God. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 5, Peter said, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The church is that which was under consideration. Remember the seed promise? The seed promise that God had made to the serpent? The seed promise that God had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob? And now to David is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's hard not to see that. But another promise made to David on this occasion in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Concerning David's seed, God would establish his throne forever. Verse 13, 2 Samuel 7. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The word throne simply means the right to rule. So God is going to establish the right to rule of Christ's kingdom forever. His kingdom is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom which people were being added to in the first century. "I will establish the throne, the right to rule of his kingdom forever." Jesus is actually seated on the throne of David right now. In Acts 2 and in verse 29, Peter said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his tomb, is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet," that is David being a prophet, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body," now when did God swear with an oath to him, "that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." 2 Samuel chapter 7, where we've been reading. That's where God had made that promise to David. So he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Whose throne? David's throne. Christ is seated on David's throne right now. God built a house for David, a dynasty for David. That is, as David's son continued to rule and reign over Judah, after David died, Solomon, and then after him, his son, and then after that, another descendant of David, after that, another descendant of David. When we come to the New Testament, Christ is seated on the throne of David. And his kingdom will last or reign forever. Jesus seated on the throne of David. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 12. "Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father." Solomon sat on David's throne. I thought Solomon would sit on his own throne. No, he sat on David's throne. But what was David's throne that Solomon sat on? It was David's throne. It could be said, I guess, that it was Solomon's throne. But Scripture says he sat on his father's throne. He sat on David's throne. This throne of David is also referred to in other ways. 1 Kings 1 and verse 46. "Also Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord, King David, saying, May God make the name of Solomon better than your name. And may he make his throne greater than your throne." Note that. Greater than your throne. But Solomon's throne is David's throne. "Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king said thus," that is King David, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it." It was Solomon's throne, but it was David's throne. David's throne. Not only was it said to be David's throne, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 23, "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. Whose throne was it? It was God's throne. Now, jumping ahead a little bit for our lesson this evening, remember that at one time in the history of Israel, the nation of Israel had rejected God as being king over them. God was indeed their king. But the Israelites rejected God's kingship and wanted to be like all the nations round about them, and they wanted an earthly king. God allowed it, and he gave them Saul. But whose throne do you suppose Saul sat on? Well, he sat on God's throne, just as Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. That is, a man sat on God's throne. God ruled and reigned over the nation of Israel. They rejected him as king and wanted an earthly king, so God gave them an earthly king. But the throne he sat on was God's throne. It was the throne of the Lord. 1 Kings 8 and verse 20. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, Solomon speaking, and sit on the throne of Israel. But wait, he was sitting on the throne of the Lord. He was sitting on the throne of Yahweh. He was sitting on the throne of God. To sit on the throne of Israel is to sit on the throne of God. To sit on the throne of God is to sit on David's throne. Different ways of describing the same throne. Not different thrones, just the same throne. Again, the word throne simply means a right to rule and reign. In 1 Chronicles 28, in verse 5, and of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon, David said, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord. The throne of the kingdom. The throne of the kingdom of God. What a prophecy. What a prophecy indeed. Note the other and the last promise made to David. In 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So God said of this seed that was going to come from the body of David, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. He goes on to say, if he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rods of men and with the blows of the sons of men. And someone would say, well, certainly this is fulfilled in Solomon. But the ultimate fulfillment is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I will be his father and he shall be my son. Certainly, Solomon was the son of David. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 6. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Solomon was even said to be God's son, and God was said to be his father. But the ultimate fulfillment is in Jesus Christ, and I know that to be fact. Why? Because the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 1 and verse 5, quotes 2 Samuel 7 and verse 14. To which of the angels did he ever say, that is, did God ever say this? And he quotes from Psalm 2 and verse 7, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In the context of this, Jesus Christ is under consideration. So to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? The psalmist said that in Psalm 2 and verse 7 about Jesus Christ our Lord. But note, the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews also quotes from 2 Samuel 7 and verse 14. And again, to which of the angels did God ever say, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. A quote from 2 Samuel 7 and verse 14. So the inspired writer of Hebrews said that what God said to David on that occasion through the prophet Nathanael has reference to Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we're out of time for our lesson this morning, but I hope that you'll come back this evening because we have many other things to say about the throne of David. For example, from the time of David, who ruled and reigned on David's throne? After David and then after Solomon, and after Solomon who? What happened to the throne of David? What happened to the rule and dynasty of David that was seated on the throne over Israel? And from that period of time to Christ. Remember, the nation eventually was taken away into Babylonian captivity. Well, what happened to the throne of David? But remember the promises that God made to David. The ultimate fulfillment of those promises were not to take place until David rested with his fathers. David was going to be dead when the ultimate fulfillment of that was to take place. But there's some things we need to talk about regarding the time from David to the time of Christ, regarding the throne of Christ. Please come back this evening and hear the conclusion of the lesson. I hope this morning that you've heard enough to recognize and realize that Jesus Christ is the seed that was promised to David. And he is indeed ruling and reigning on David's throne right now. And the throne he's ruling and reigning on is the throne of God in heaven. He's ruling and reigning over the kingdom of God, over the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the house of God, the temple of God, a spiritual dwelling place of God. If you want to become a citizen in the kingdom of God, you can this morning through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. You can become a citizen in that kingdom. You can be moved from the kingdom of darkness and transported into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, just as Paul and the Colossian brethren had been done. You can do that this morning through your obedience to the Word of God. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.